I don't think that as a child or young person, I truly appreciated my parents. I remember one thing that sticks in this old head of mine is a time when my father, I was staying with my grandparents, my brother and I were staying with my grandparents, and of course, it was a Saturday morning with no school. Mighty Mouse was on, you know. Roy Rogers, Sky King, Ren 10-10, all of the good stuff was on. And Dad wants to go cut pulpwood. You know, that's the wood they grind up and make paper out of. Yeah. That was a common thing in my childhood of cutting wood, piling brush, and loading racks with wood to be made into paper. I remember this one Saturday that Dad came to pick us up and take us to go do those things, and I just wasn't very happy with him. But I remember him saying something to me as we were going back to in the truck to the woods, and that was, I just needed to spend some time with you. Think about that for a little while. There is nothing better, nothing greater, nothing more important than in a child's life to have a godly father. This is what this world has, or in this country, has labeled as Father's Day. It is the first day of the week, and that is the more important aspect of things. I don't think that it is possible to overstress the importance of godly fathers and fathers being in particular in the lives of their children. Think about it. God had Abram chosen to be the father of a great nation. Now, think about this. The name Abram means exalted father. The name Abraham means father of a multitude. There is no doubt in my mind, at least, that God had in mind that if I'm going to create a great nation, I need a patriarch, a father of this nation that is a great and godly man. And so he chose Abraham. That doesn't mean Abraham didn't have his faults and make mistakes. He did. But he was still a godly man. He was the one who God saw would lead his family in the direction that God wanted him to take. And think about this. Jeff's been doing some lessons on God. And then he did one on him being father. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And he says, pray then in this way, or pray in this manner. Here's an example of praying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We address God as our Father, and he is our Father. God's answer for the multitude of pressures and temptations that face families today is strong, faithful fathers. In our world today, it seems that we have this idea or this belief that fathers are really unimportant, that they are really expendable, and maybe even so far as to say that they're an optional attachment to things. There was a study done, I'm going to say probably 8 to 10 years ago. In that study, they found that 1/3 of this nation's family, in this nation's children, live in families that do not have a father figure in that family. Do children need a father? They absolutely do. The scriptures bear out that very idea. God knows what's best for us, and God says that fathers need to be a part of the raising of their children. In fact, it begins by giving children the right kind of example. Godly fathers need to be careful and are careful about the influence they exert on the family. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there in beginning at verse 13, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 13 and going through verse 16, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salt again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I understand that this is not just talking about fathers. This is talking about the kind of person I am to be as a Christian. This is men and women are to be these kind of individuals. But fathers need to be this kind of an individual. In fact, Christ demands that citizens of His kingdom be concerned with the influence that they exert on the world that is around them. Salt, if it is left out of the food that you eat, you know it, don't you? You notice that there's no salt in it. I've been to the hospital a time or two, and I can remember hospital food. It's bland. It doesn't have any flavor that's good at all that I ever thought about. Why? Because they leave that salt. You know, that salt's bad stuff. Well, if you use too much, it is, but you need some salt to give things flavor. Make it taste good. And it also has an influence. It has a preserving quality. That's why they salted meats in the past, was to preserve those things. You see, we're the salt of the earth. We're to add something good to life. Think about it. What kind of things are you adding to life? What makes the life you're living really valuable and a blessing to others? You see, that's what I as a Christian, you as Christians, need to be considering in us. We're the light of the world, he says. You know, the children's song, "Don't hide your light under a bushel." No. Why? You put it on a lampstand so it gives light to everybody. You'd let your light shine. You're not to hide your influence, but you're to be guiding people to the Lord. You're to be leading them in the right path. You're to be guiding them to Jesus Christ. How can they do that unless they see that light in your life? You see, the Lord expects us to be separate from the world. We're not to be of the world, but we are to live above the world's standards of morality and all other things. And we're to influence it, though, in a positive direction. Our example speaks louder than all the words we could possibly say. Doesn't it? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I always learn better by doing than reading. Yeah, just for me, it was just, let me do it, then I'll know. Let me see that example. Let me see those things done. I'm thinking about my dad in that regard. In fact, as we was driving home, I don't know how we got on the subject of talking about I know we was going to go home and saw up trees, get the chainsaw out. And I was saying that I don't lend my chainsaw out anymore because I've lent it out a few times and had to have it repaired, and it's kind of expensive. And I've had this chainsaw for now over 40 years, and I can still start it first couple of pulls or two or not, and. And I was just thinking about that, and the comment was made that it seems like your son-in-laws and your sons break a lot of your tools. And yeah, but I'm sure that if I would to go back and consider, I probably broke a few of my dad's tools too. And I'm pretty positive that's the case. I learned a few things along the way because of what my father taught me. My children have learned a few things along the way because of the things I've taught them. That's what we're talking about. That example, the things that they see going on in your life. I've told you before, it is such a blessing. I heard an older preacher say one time that he was looking forward to the time he could discuss things with his children. And he said, now there may be times when they're going to disagree with me, but you know, it might be the time when I learn something from them. And I'll tell you what, one of the greatest blessings that I have is being able to discuss religious things with my children. And sometimes he's right. Sometimes you learn things. You see, we don't all have it down perfectly. There's that example that needs to be set. I need to be willing to listen and learn just as they need to be paying attention. Our example speaks louder than words. Our influence cannot be overemphasized. We can't tell. You know, do we tell our children that God is the most important thing in our lives, the most important thing to us, and then we don't live according to His will? We don't practice what He commands? We can't expect our children to love the church unless we do, can we? Godly fathers provide the kind of leadership that families need. And the Bible has a lot to say about the father's role in leading the family. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 8, a father is instructing his children here. Now that's an important thing to keep in mind. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Listen, pay attention. Note what I'm saying. There are benefit in the words that I'm giving you. In Deuteronomy 6, when Moses is writing the commands of God, in verses 6 and 7, notice what he commands here to parents. And these words which I command you today, they shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's to be an aspect of your life that is continually active throughout the entire day. The father is the leader of the family. He's the leader in attendance, in Bible class, in Bible study, in devotional time, in prayer as well. And whatever other spiritual aspects may be a part of life, a father is to take his lead in those things. Notice also in the Bible that the Bible clearly indicates that a father knows the needs of his children. Think about it. Our eternal Father knows what we need. He is our role model. Jesus says of the Heavenly Father in Matthew 6 and verse 8, He knows what you need before you ask it. How many earthly fathers are concerned enough about their children's needs to be observant enough, to communicate enough with their children to know their children's true needs? The sad thing, the really sad thing is too many fathers are involved in other selfish interests, so many other selfish interests than to give their children the time of day. I remember a cartoon, or maybe it was a little story I read, and it's been some time ago. But anyway, the little boy comes to his father and asks his father how much money he makes. And dad tells him how much he makes. And the little boy says, well, Dad, I'd like to buy an hour of your time. That ought to be an eye-opener, don't you think? In fact, yeah, I'll save that for later, but no, let me just get you. I remember one time when a gentleman was trying to encourage me into getting involved in selling insurance. And I was going to have to work my regular job and then sell insurance in the evening. And what he told me was that you can spend quality time with your children. It's not necessarily the quantity that matters. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may have 15 minutes of quality time with your children, but your children need a lot more than 15 minutes of your quantity time. Children need your time. They are important, and they need your time. And sometimes it's just simply sitting down and listening to what they have to say and just being quiet. That's why I'm a better grandfather than I was a parent. I think I learned something along the way. Listen, just listen. And sometimes, my youngest son, he would tell the goofiest jokes. Just the goofiest jokes. But it was important to laugh because he was telling jokes and it was funny to him. It has to be funny to you. Of course, we tease him about it all the time now anyway, but that's beside the point. It's important. They need the quantity and quality time. That's what my dad was saying to me in that truck that day. He needed to spend time with us because he needed to teach us the lessons of life. Godly fathers lead their children. They know what their children need. Too many times we're involved in things that are so unimportant in life. Selfish interest. But our Heavenly Father recognized our need to be saved from sin. He was willing to send His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross so that I could be forgiven of sin and so that I could be a part of His family. In Galatians 4, and in verses 4 through 7, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul writes, "But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father,' therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir through God." God knew what we needed, and He provided it. And fathers, godly fathers, know what their children need because they spend time with them, they listen to them, they hear what they say, and they know what they need. Now, that doesn't just mean that He provides what they need physically, but a father provides what they need spiritually as well. You see, God, in sacrificing His only Son, was so that we could live. With the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, we can enjoy the privileges of a close relationship with the Father in heaven. Because of His sacrifice, we are living with the feeling of love and in confidence that our God and Father would do anything for us, that He does not forget us. You see, the Father who feeds the birds of the air and clothes the grass of the field knows what His children needs, and He provides that for them, and with even greater care than for these other things. In fact, James in chapter 1 and verse 17 says that that every good and perfect gift comes down from Him. He provides not only physical bread to feed our hungry body, but He also provides the spiritual bread to satisfy the soul. In John 6 and verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Our Heavenly Father has made sure that we have everything we need. In fact, again, this time in 2 Peter 1, in 2 Peter 1 in verse 3, it says, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellency. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Paul says in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so fathers, earthly fathers, should be concerned or should concern themselves with providing for both the physical and the spiritual needs of their children. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul writes, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Isn't that what Moses was writing in Deuteronomy 6? That very same idea carrying forth. Too many fathers, neglect their children's spiritual needs in order to work overtime to provide well beyond what is needed materially. Most children have been given far too much of what they don't really need and precious little of what they do need. Fathers provide for every need. You see, that's why when that fellow said to me, quality was more important than quantity, I knew there was something wrong. That's just not right. I need to give my children quality time, but there needs to be a quantity of it as well. And they need to see the kind of person that their father is. You know, Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I don't think that's just talking about physical things. I think there's a spiritual aspect to that as well. If I do not provide for my children's spiritual needs, then I am also worse than an unbeliever as well. And these things are done because a godly father loves his children. In 1 John 3 and in verse 1, John writes, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now think about that. What manner? Or what sort of love the Heavenly Father lavishes on us is much more than a cozy, fluffy, warm, oozy feeling. It is a love that has an eternal welfare at heart, has a concern for the eternal well-being of the one loved. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, Paul again writes, God the Father has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. This is the manner of love that earthly fathers need to have for the children. It is a love that suffers long. It's a love that is kind. It's a love that does not envy. It's a love that does not parade itself. It's a love that is not puffed up. It's a love that does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It does not provoke. It does not think evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 through 7. That's the kind of love that earthly fathers need to have for their children. It's a love that puts emphasis on the spiritual and does not neglect the physical. And godly fathers discipline their children. We are living in a society that has gone off its rockers when it comes to discipline. Children need discipline. And discipline is not just corporal punishment. Discipline includes instruction. They need to be instructed in what's right and then corrected when they do wrong. And it all out of love. And I remember this, somebody making the comment, well, this is going to hurt you more than this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never really understood that until I became a father. That's a difficult thing to do. Even the day that Tony had sassed his mother, and I had to take him out in the garage, and he wanted to explain to me all of the reasons why, it would have been very easy to have enjoyed that spanking. But it was difficult. Because, I'm sorry, his excuses, his reasoning just tickled me. And so it was very difficult to go ahead and spank him, but he was wrong. And those three laps on the backside did him some good. Now, friends, there was no reason, there was no thinking that I wanted to damage him in any way or to bring any kind of harm to him. The purpose of all of that was to make a godly man out of him. We do what's right, and when we do what's wrong, we pay the consequences. I've been to the prison in Robinson, Illinois, numerous times, and I have studied with several individuals incarcerated there. The sad thing is, our prisons all over this country are filled with individuals whose fathers were not there, who were not the kind of fathers that needed to be there if they were there and instruct their children in what was right. That is one of the greatest problems in this country today. We celebrate today Father's Day, but we have restricted fathers to the point they can't be the kind of fathers God would have them to be. We need to free our parents up to do what children need most, and that is instruct them in the right ways of the Lord. Fathers who love their children, discipline them just as God disciplines His children. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. My kids were good kids. I don't remember having to spank them but a very few times. Now, maybe they have a different perspective than I did. But I just don't remember that. And I don't remember my father, maybe one time. There's one time that sticks out in my mind real well. But I got to tell you this too. I remember skipping school. I skipped school one time. There was once a time when I was a follower, not a leader. Had a friend of school, seventh grade. He thought we ought to skip the reading class that we had. Skip out. I really don't care. I don't want to go anyway. Okay, so off we go. We're walking down. I'm still trying to figure out why we were so stupid in doing this anyway, but probably because we're kids. We're walking down the street, down the middle of the main drag of town. guess who drives by? The teacher we're skipping out on. She stops the car. We got to get in. We go back. We go sit in the principal's office. The principal, I don't remember his name, but I like this guy. I don't know exactly what he did, but he told us, you're going to have to sit in the cafeteria for the next 3 weeks over lunch period. Okay. And I'm going to send a letter to your parents to let them know what's going on. I don't remember what day of the week this was on that this happened. But I know the next week, the bus ride home was the most terrifying thing I could think of. And then the next week, it was still the most terrifying thing I could think of. And I'm not just sure how long that lasted, but it lasted several weeks. Maybe even the whole rest of the year. Till this day, I do not know whether my parents received a letter or not. But I guarantee you, I never had a concern about skipping school again. Not this guy. Because I know if my dad finds out, I'm in for it. I'm going to get a whooping. But then I got to thinking later on in life, I should have asked Dad. Did you ever get a letter when I skipped school? Because I'd really like to know. Because if he did, he's the smartest dad I ever knew. Because that cured me of that particular problem real quick. It's kind of like the little boy that my first wife, Darlene, babysit for. When we were in southern Indiana, I was preaching down there, and I would take an article to the newspaper office, and it was published there once a week. He liked to go. He liked to go and do things. He liked to be involved. He wanted to do just everything. And so he wanted to go with us. And, of course, you had to buckle your seatbelt. We get in the truck, the little Isuzu, and we're getting ready to go to Jasper, Indiana to put an article in the newspaper. And I say, buckle up your seat belts, and William buckles his. I got mine buckled, and Sean doesn't. I said, you need to buckle your seatbelt. No. I said, okay, well, William, unbuckle your seatbelt. We got to go back in the house for a minute. So we get out of the vehicle. We go back into the house. I said, William, you go back and get in the truck. I shut the door. I went out and got in the truck. He buckled his seatbelt. I buckled mine. We went to town. The next time I needed to go to town to drop off the article, Sean was in the truck and his seatbelt was buckled. Never, ever had a problem. I didn't have to spank that child. That child didn't need spanking. He just needed good instruction. Sometimes you've got to get creative. I had a nephew. Think about this. I had a nephew. Whoo! Talk about some kids. I had a nephew who, he would go and say, hey, Mom, that's the stick that would be the best one for a switch. Wait a minute, kid. Do you know what you're saying? It didn't bother him at all. He didn't care how many switches he got. It was okay. Because once it was done, it was done. But you set him in a corner by himself. Yeah, he didn't like that. Again, and then that reminds me of the two little boys again. One time they was fussing and fighting about something. I said, boys, go stand with your nose to the wall. And they got I seen they was playing with their hands. I said, put your hands behind your back with your nose to the wall. Tears are flowing like crap. You would have thought we had beat them within an inch of their life. They were just brokenhearted over that. You see, you've got to think. You've got this adult brain that God gave you, and you need to use it in creative ways and in ways that will really instruct children in what's right. And sometimes the greatest lesson learned from discipline is not from a spanking, but from a creative way of disciplining that child. You see, the Lord loves those whom He, or I'm sorry, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. In Proverbs 13 and verse 24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. You think about Dr. Spock, that's the one I remember from my childhood. Oh, no, his kid was the rottenest kid in the country. True fact. You spare the rod. If you don't discipline, if you don't instruct them in what's right, there's nothing to hold them back. Love and discipline go hand in hand. I believe there is clear evidence that the Bible supports the idea of fatherhood. Again, going back to that study, it was a 5-year study. It said that by the age of 5 months, boys who had fathers that take an active part in their care are less frightened of strangers and more advanced. They're more curious and have better sensory motor skills. Children that are raised without fathers are more likely to perform poorly in school. They develop emotional problems. They engage in risky behavior like early sexual activity, drugs, and alcohol abuse. They experience violence as children. In addition, fatherless boys are more likely to become violent men than boys raised with fathers. The father's presence has also a positive effect on children as they grow. Children with fathers close or close relationships with male adults have a higher self-esteem, are better learners, and are less likely to be depressed. Children whose fathers share meals, spend time with them, or help with homework do significantly better in school than children whose fathers do not. Friends, the question is, what kind of father are you? Tonight, we've not been discussing things that would teach you what you need to do to be obedient to God. But maybe in some previous lesson, you understand that you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that upon believing that, you need to confess Him and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you want to do that, we want to assist you in doing that very thing. If you're already a Christian and your life is not what it should be, maybe you're not the kind of father you need to be, and I'll tell you what, I know as a father that there are times when you struggle with trying to be a good father, and you fail. One of the best things for your kids, let me just say that, one of the best things for your kids is when you fail, for you to tell them you failed. There's no better way for them to learn to repent than to see you repent. True fact. If you need to correct your life tonight, we want to assist you in doing that. Won't you do that as we stand and sing?